الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue with the عقيدة الوسطية. Today is the 26th of Rabi al-Awwal 1433, which corresponds to the 18th of February 2012. Today is a Saturday, as usual. And in our last discussion, we had dealt with the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or the practicality of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or the practical application of the Sunnah amongst Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. All these titles can be used. And we were speaking about how they strive to seek knowledge, the knowledge acquisition, and they strive to act upon the knowledge which they have sought and earned and acquired, and that they are neither extreme nor lenient in regards to the aqidah and methodology, and that they follow the Prophet ﷺ inwardly and outwardly in terms of the acts of worship which are related to the heart, such as fear, hope, reliance upon Allah and love of Allah, and you know, fear of Allah, and so on and so forth, and the outwardly acts of worship. Then we were dealing with a very technical issue that we need to be well informed about, because there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding among the Muslims, in fact among the knowledgeable Muslims, if we may say, let alone the laymen and the people who don't know any better. And you will see why. The Shaykh said that the athar of the Prophet ﷺ, that which we can trace back to him, is divided into three categories or possibly more. And then he said that whatever he did, alayhi salam, as means of enslaving himself to Allah and worshipping Him, alaykum salam, this is no doubt something which you are commanded to follow. And the evidence for that is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Bid'ah, man. I'm waiting for the Arabic term. You give me half Arabic, half English. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Remember حَسَنَة? Good deed. Hey, but here, does it mean good deed? Does it mean good deed in this ayah? See, that's why you have to know the various definitions of a word. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Does it mean you have in the message of Allah a good deed? حَسَنَة means here, good. Not the good deed. Good. Uswa is the example, so you have a good or excellent example in the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So whatever he had done because of something which was customary back then, or bi muqtada jibilla, or because of an innate, or he did innately, the adverb. وَفِطْرَةً, or the natural disposition. أَوْ حَسَلَ اتِّفَاقًا, or that which happened by coincidence or chance. And we don't mean by it here the Western understanding of the term, or let's say the un-Islamic understanding of coincidence, as in something which is outside the decree of Allah. No, we mean coincidence within the decree of Allah, meaning Allah decreed it, but it wasn't intended. It wasn't intended. For example, you come across someone, you run into him in the street, and you say, I ran into him by chance. Now, does that mean by chance, meaning Allah didn't decree it? Allah decreed it, but still it wasn't something you planned for. It wasn't intended to meet this person. فَإِنَّهُ عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّعَبُّدِ وَنَحْنُ مَأْمُرُونَ بِهِ. All of this falls under worship, and we are commanded to follow him. But there will be some elaboration. Take it easy. ثَانِيًا. Secondly, ما فعله اتفاقا, that which he did that just happened to happen. فهذا لا يشرع لنا التأسي فيه, that we are not, it is not legislated for us to follow him in this regard. It is not legislated for us to follow him in this regard. That which he did by chance, not intended. كما لو قال قائل ينبغي أن يكون قدومنا إلى مكة في الحج في اليوم الرابع عشر من ذي الحجة. Someone comes and says, when we arrive to Mecca for Hajj, we must arrive on the 14th of Dhul Hijjah. We must arrive on the 14th, on the Yawm al-Rabi'ah, the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. Sorry. Take it easy, guys. It happens. Okay? Perfection belongs to Allah. Slow down. The 4th of Dhul Hijjah. Right? Otherwise, the Hajj will be over. You'll be arriving a little too late. لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قدم مكة في اليوم الرابع من ذي الحجة. So someone says, look, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام arrived in Mecca on the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. So when we go for Hajj, we should arrive on the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. Is that okay or not okay? Not necessarily. The fatwa of Sheikh Ibrahim.
Even we can arrive on Sabbath.
We know, but now we're saying, is it legislated for someone to say, guys, let's arrive on the 4th. Why? The Messenger of Allah arrived on the 4th. No. Now, you may think yes, but no. Because did he intend that? Is there ibadah in that? They were traveling with what means?
Camels.
Huh? Camels. Was there an airplane which they booked? And they knew when they would arrive? Allahu a'lam how long it would take. It's only estimation. You can only estimate. So it just so happened that they arrived on the 4th. It is not an ibadah which you say, I want to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See the issue here? Most people will think, oh yeah, sure. We will say we will also arrive on the 4th. That's the sunnah. No, that's not really the sunnah. Because it wasn't intended to be a sunnah. It wasn't something he did for his ummah to follow him in. You see what I'm saying? I hope so. Some of you still look in shock, man. Like, they're saying like this, but they're like, no, in their mind. Yes, but next time I'm going to come on the 4th. Brother, stop playing games. Now the Sheikh said, فَنَقُولْ هَذَا غَيْرُ مَشْرُوعٍ. This is not legislated. لِأَنَّ قَدُومَهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا اليوم وقع اتفاق. And his arrival just happened to be on that day. Not in ibadah. Otherwise, it would have been known to the Sahaba. It would have been conveyed to us. The virtue of arriving on the 4th. Even if he didn't say anything about it. The Sahaba would have recognized it. But you will find that no one makes any mention of that. There's no real value. Which means it is not part of the ibadat. Through which you get closer to Allah. وَلَوْ قَالَ قَائِلْ يَنْبَغِي إِذَا دَفَعْنَا مِنْ عَرَفَ وَوَصَلْنَا إِلَى الشُّعَبْ الذي نزل فيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وبال أن ننزل ونبول ونتوضأ وضوءا خفيفا كما فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنقول هذا لا يشرع. Similarly, if one said, when we make it to Arafah and we get to that area, that farm-like area, or that area which has some greenery and some grass and what have you, then we will go down, and the Prophet ﷺ actually went down in that area. He urinated in that area, and he made a light wudu, a light ablution. What could mean, what is a light ablution? What is the difference between a heavy and a light ablution, if you want to give the opposite? Huh?
Less water.
Less water? Okay, good. And how could you use less water in a wudu? What are the options you have?
Without completing the washing.
Yes, no. Yeah.
Not three times, one time.
No, wait.
For example, sometimes we wash deep water and correctly. Sometimes in hurry, we just must like that early, like in the past.
Nope. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ had seen some men who were making wudu. And he saw that one of them, he had a small dry spot on his foot, and he said, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe to the ankles or to the heels from the hellfire, because of not one spot not getting water. So there's no such thing as light wudu, as in you just no. You have to make sure that water completely covers your body, complete, not your whole body, the body part which you are washing. Thoroughly. Make sure, even if you're using a little bit of water, you have to spread it around. Make sure that it's all around, everywhere. There's no, sprinkle. And keep moving.
Can it be tamam?
No. It wouldn't be called wudu anymore. If it's called wudu, meaning water is involved. If we're not calling, if you're calling it tayammum, meaning there's no water. He said, tawadda wudu'an khafifan. Which means that you can do it as Brother Ibrahim once. Waalaikum salam. You don't have to wash three times. One time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time. And that is a valid wudu. Now it is preferable that you do three, as in to get the sunnah. But the obligation, yani what the minimum requirement is only once. So using less water, which will be a lot less water. Because when you wash three, you will be using triple the amount of water. You see what I'm saying? طيب. So someone says, we should also go down and we should urinate where the Prophet ﷺ urinated, and we should make wudu similarly in a light fashion like the Prophet ﷺ did. We say, nope, this is not legislated, because that wasn't an intended ibadah that the ummah was commanded to follow him in. It just happened that he needed to go to the bathroom, alayhi salatu wasalam, and so he did. And it happened that he did a light wudu. There's no legislation that is recommended for us behind that. So the Shaykh said, هَذَا لَا يُشْرَعَ. This is not legislated. You don't do it. Ajeeb, huh? It is ajeeb. وَكَذَلِكَ غَيْرَهَا مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي وَقَعَتْ اتِّفَاقًا. And many other things which happened by chance. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُشْرَعُ التَّأْسِي فِيهِ بِذَلِكَ. It is not legislated that you imitate him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in these regards. لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم فعله على سبيل القصد للتعبد فعله لا على سبيل القصد للتعبد والتأسي به تعبد. Because he did not do so seeking worship of Allah. And when you follow him, you're actually trying to worship Allah. Following the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is ibadah. If he didn't do it as an ibadah in this sense, it just happened to happen at that time, then you can follow him in something which he didn't intend to be ibadah, because following him is ibadah. So there's a missing link there. You see the difference now. So you have to differentiate between the time when the Prophet ﷺ said, upon you is this, do this, I command you to do this, woe to you from this. Or he did something and the Sahaba knew this was ibadah and they conveyed it to the Ummah, so that we can follow him in this regard. And between things which just happened by chance, and they were not intended to be ibadah. So we have to make that distinction. Now, one of us may not be qualified to differentiate between the two. What do you do?
Seek the ulama?
Yes. You ask the people of knowledge. You don't know, and this is really a technical issue. Because in our minds, all of us probably, we're like, why? This is perfect. We come on the fourth, we go urinate in the same area, make wudu, alhamdulillah, we're doing the sunnah. That's what the common Muslim would believe. But it is not. So you have to refer back to the ulama.
ثالثا ما فعله بمقتضى العادة فهل يشرع لنا التأسي به.
Now here we go even more technical, and you have to pay close attention to what's cooking right now. The things which he did out of habit, which were habitual or customary, habitual or customary, is it legislated for us to imitate him in these regards? Now you guys are joking, like, I don't want to take a chance. Huh? You don't know what the answer is going to be.
Yes, we can. I mean, but it's not the fatwa.
Hoi, another fatwa. Allah, we should, as a matter, we should make another lajna daima for ifta. The one that they have, the permanent committee of ifta with the kingdom, and then the one we have in our classroom. It's okay. I know you guys, I'm asking you, you expect it to answer even if it's wrong. I'm just teasing you. What's your evidence for that, yeah, Sheikh?
Any, for example, the closest.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, so when people from some foreign country would come to visit him, he would usually adopt his their clothing, welcome, make them feel welcome, So he changed that. Sometimes when we see some Muslims, they stick to that. We have to follow where exactly what Rasulullah SAW wore. So there is a flexibility over there.
Okay, you're around the bullseye. But we will see. We will see. You're not too far from what is intended. Ahsan, jazakallah khair. Good fatwa, actually. Just make sure you don't give fatwa outside. Now the Sheikh said, Naam. Al-Jawab, Naam. Yes. But here comes the issue. يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَتَأَسَّ بِهِ. We should imitate him. لَكِنْ بِجِنْسِهِ لَا بِنَوْعِهِ. إِشْ هَذَا. يعني difficult to even translate. Because if you go back to the dictionaries, you'll find that these words are pretty much synonymous. Jins and نوع. Now of course jins has many meanings. We're not talking about S-E-X here, because that's one of the meanings. And it also means gender. Jins, ذكر أو أنثى. You read that in an application. Jins also means kind or type. And نوع also means kind or type. So now what is intended here? He said, لكن بجنسه لا بنوعي. In its type, but not its type. That's what it's saying. But that's not what is intended. Meaning, that which is legislated for us to follow is in the kind, not the brand. يعني, not, for example, let's say the sandals. The idea of wearing something like the Prophet ﷺ, but it does not have to be the same type or the same brand. Not that they had brands back then, but it doesn't have to be like leather made out of such and such with this particular. So the idea you follow him in, but not necessarily the exact type. Did I lose you? Yes? Just take it like that, okay? If you don't get it, I'm sorry. Because you cannot explain it better than that. At least as far as I can try. The Sheikh said, وَهَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةَ قَلَّ مَنْ يَتَفَطَّنْ لَهَمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ. This matter, very few people are actually able to identify the differences and the subtleties in it. يَظُنُونَ نَتَأَسِّي بِهِ فِيمَا هُوَ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْعَادَةِ بِالنَّوْعِ. They think that following him is restricted to the very type which he used. ثُمَّ يَنْفُونَ تَأْسِي بِهِ فِي ذَلِكَ. Then they deny that you can follow him عليه الصلاة والسلام. You have to do the exact same thing. No, you don't. No, you don't have to do the exact same thing. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. مَرْحَبًا. Okay. وَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ نَتَأَسَّ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ بِاعْتِبَارِ الْجِنْسِ بمعنى أن نفعل ما تقتضيه العادة التي كان عليها الناس إلا أن يمنع من ذلك مانع شرعي. We say we follow him in regards to the type, same thing, kind, type, choose the one you want, which means that we may do what the people customarily did back then unless there is another textual evidence which prevents that. Unless there's something which prohibits that, you may follow what they did back then, even 1400 years ago, provided that it doesn't conflict with another textual evidence. But it doesn't have to be the very same thing he used. It's the idea, the type, not necessarily the same thing that he used, alayhi salatu wasalam. Rabi'an, fourthly, ما فعله بمقتضى الجبلة. What is جبلة? I translated it earlier. You probably missed it. Does it come in the Quran? Jibilla. You're the hafiz, right? Yeah, you. Now he's looking around at somebody else. You're not a hafiz anymore? I thought you were a hafiz. Almost. Because you always finish the ayat I give you, mashallah. Tayyib. Jibilla. Does it come in the Quran? Anyone? I'll give you nothing if you give me an answer. I promise, a whole bunch of nothing. Just for you. It does come in the Quran. Yasin? No. No. We need to use that. We'll look it up. I know it's in the Quran. I'm trying to remember the exact ayah. Ala kulli hal. The word comes in the Quran. Jibilla from Jibilli. Jibilli. which is that which is innate. That which is, for example, the Prophet ﷺ said to one of the Sahaba, you have two characteristics which Allah Azza wa Jal loves. Okay? Forbearance and being cautious in your movement before you make decisions. He said, oh Messenger of Allah.
What is that for?
Forbearance. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, are these qualities which Allah created me with, which are jibilli, or did I acquire them? He said, no, Allah created you with them. Meaning, for example, some people by jibilliya are patient. They were created, they were born patient. This is innate in them, it's innate. And some people are not. They have to acquire the quality of patience. And the list goes on in terms of the traits of human beings. So what he did because of that innately, what he did innately, فَهَذَا لَيْسَ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ قَطْعًا. This is definitely 100%, no doubt, not part of ibadat. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did innately, that was part of his characteristics, part of his qualities, this is not ibadah. Take it easy, don't get traumatized again. لَكِنْ قَدْ يَكُونُ عِبَادًا مِنْ وَجَهٍ. However, it may be an act of worship through another facet. Because we have other evidences which encourage this particular quality. بِأَنْ يَكُونَ فَعَلُوا عَلَى صِفَةً مُعَيَّنَا عِبَادًا. Such as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it in a particular fashion, which is an ibadah, as an ibadah, as an act of worship. كَالنَّوْمَ. Such as sleep. Sleep. فَأَنَّهُ بِمُقْتَدَى الْجِبِلَّةِ. Isn't that innate? Sleep, isn't it an innate quality in human beings? Don't you have to sleep? If you don't sleep for a few days, you could become drunk without having to consume any alcohol. People become real khalas, man. They shut down, their brain shut down, their mind shut down, everything shuts down. And you think that they've become lunatics. It's zombie kind of like behavior. لَكِنْ يُسَنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَى الْيَمِينَ. So sleeping itself is something innate. When does it become an act of worship? When you sleep on your right side. When you sleep on your right side. وَالْأَكْلُ وَالشُّرْبُ جِبِلَّ طَبِعِيَّ. Eating and drinking is also innate. You can't live without eating and drinking. You have to eat and drink. وَلَكِنْ قَدْ يَكُنُوا عِبَادًا مِنْ جَوْخْرَ. But it becomes an act of worship because of other reasons. Meaning everybody eats. The kafir and the believer, the one who's mindful of Allah and the one who's heedless of Allah, oh, everybody eats. Now some people may develop an intention which renders this ada ibadah. They bring to mind, for example, the statement of Allah, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink and do not be extravagant. They bring to mind Allah's command to eat and drink. So they make an ibadah. Or I'm eating now to strengthen myself to do salah correctly. Or I'm eating for whatever reason. If they include a niyyah which renders it ibadah. Otherwise, eating and drinking is not ibadah. In and of itself. It's something innate in human beings. You have to eat. Are you following me? I hope so. ولكن قد يكون عبادة من جهة أخرى. It could become an ibadah. إذا قصد به الإنسان امتثال أمر الله. If the person intends to fulfill the command of Allah. والتنعم بنعمه. And to enjoy the bounties of Allah. Some people, this is the best ibadah they can do. You know? All the time they enjoy the food. All they say, brother, alhamdulillah, I'm enjoying the ni'mah of Allah. Yeah, but there are many other ways you can enjoy, man. Get off the plate. والقوة على عبادته. Or that he intends to strengthen himself to worship Allah Azza wa Jal better. وحفظ البدن. And to preserve the body. Preserve the body. ثم إن صفته أيضا تكون عبادة كالأكل باليمين. Also the manner, the description of this eating can become عبادة by eating with the right hand. والبسملة عند البداء. And that you begin with Bismillah. وَالْحَمْدُ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْإِنْتِهَاءِ. And praising Allah upon completing your meal. Or completing or full, eating your food. وَهُنَا نَسْأَلْ. Hey, my favorite topic. هَلْ اتِّخَاذُ الشَّعْرِ عَادَهُ عِبَادَةً. Huh? Having hair. Is ada or ibadah? Because I get this question almost every day now. On YouTube, brother, why you keep shaving your hair? Now it's grown quite long, but usually it doesn't get that long. Why? Is it sunnah? And why don't you let your hair grow like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His hair was down here and they give you a whole lecture. Tayyib. And of course you have to be nice to the people, you can't really shock them. But let's see, is this really something that falls under ibadah? Or is it something that is not? The Shaykh said, يَرَى بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَنَّهُ عِبَادَةٌ. Some of the ulama believe that having hair is an ibadah. وَأَنَّهُ يُسَنِّ الْإِنسَانِ اتِّخَاذُ الشَّعْرِ. And that it is legislated for a person. It is recommended that you actually maintain some hair. That you don't remove it, you keep it. Sorry for all the bald guys. But that is according to some of the ulama. Don't worry. وَيَرَى آخَرُونَ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْعَادِيَةِ. Other scholars say this is something habitual. This is something ordinary. This is something customary. Not ibadah. What is, they have an evidence. بِدَلِيلِ قَوْلِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِلَّذِي رَآهُ قَدْ حَلَقَ بَعْضَ رَأْسَهُ وَتَرَقَ بَعْضَهُ. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to a man, or it was actually a young boy, whom he seen that they had shaved part of his hair, or they had shaven part of his hair, and left the other. It wasn't complete, like a mushroom cut today, you know? People have that big old cap on top of the hair, and then the rest is bald. Supposedly it looks cool. فَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. He forbade that. Now pay attention. وَقَالْ. Then he said, أُحْلُقُوا كُلَّهُ. Shave the whole thing. أو ذروه كله. Or leave the whole thing. يعني what he forbade is what is in between. You want to shave the whole thing? Shave it. And there's nothing that indicates this is Umrah or Hajj, by the way. For someone to say, oh, this is Umrah or Hajj. Either shave the whole thing or keep the whole thing. هذا يدل على أن اتخاذ الشعر ليس بعبادة. This is an evidence that it's not an ibadah. وإلا لقال. Otherwise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have said, أبقه ولا تحلق منه شيئا. Keep it, don't shave any of it. The fact that he gave him the freedom, keep it or take it, shave it, that means that having hair is not an ibadah. So don't ask me next time, why don't I have hair? Okay? Because I don't like it. And because I have a medical reason. Medical reason. You don't have to have see a big old thing growing on my head for it. You say, what medical reason? The water in Jeddah is problematic. Okay? It creates different things in people's skin. Some people are more sensitive than others. The bottom line is, I can't stand having hair. Okay, so I'm not, because it is a quality of the Khawarij, FYI, and I have to be frank with you. One of the traits of the Khawarij is shaving their hair. But the ulama say, that was a trait of theirs back then, not anymore. Not anymore. Nowadays, they come in all shapes and sizes, long hair, short hair, no hair, everything goes. So it's no longer a particular quality of the Khawarij. So there's no longer an issue, then we go back to the Asl. Keep it if you like, take it if you like. But if you have hair, you have to take care of it. Because we have a hadith. من كان لديه شعر فليكرمه. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whosoever has hair, let him honor it. So don't look like you were just electrocuted. Some people do look like they were electrocuted. They come with their hair standing here and one over there and one hanging on the floor. They come to the masjid. Look, man, what happened to you, man? Look like you were run over by a truck. Brother, you know, are you okay? So don't come looking scary. If you do have hair, make it look nice.
Usually, cover it.
Huh?
You just said cover it.
Khawarij. Khawarij, the first deviant group which went against the Muslim ruler. You have to attend the old classes, which is too late. You have to listen to the old MP3s. There was a whole section in the book about the Khawarij. So I cannot repeat the class now. But generally they're a group, deviant group, which have the tendency to fight against the Muslim ruler and to declare everybody kafir. You with me? طيب. But on the website, onewaytoparadise.net, there's a tab called audio. Click on it. On the left, there's Aqeedah. Click on it. There are 160, I believe now, maybe more, MP3 files. From the beginning of the book until page 426 or 27, that includes all of that discussion, including the Khawarij. So if you have the time, I hope you have the time, you download them and you listen to them, inshallah, at your own convenience, and you'll be up to date in terms of the issues which I may mention now and were explained before. How did I get here? Now, The Sheikh said, وهذه المسألة ينبغي التثبت فيها. Now this issue here, we have to be cautious. تثبت is to be cautious. Don't rush to say, keep a hair, remove the hair, this ibadah, you're going against the Prophet ﷺ. No, you need to slow down and take it easy. وَلَا يُحْكَمْ عَلَى شَيْبَنُ عِبَادَةً. And do not say that anything is an ibadah. Don't rush and claim this is ibadah, keeping the long hair is ibadah, until you have an evidence for that. إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٍ. Except with an evidence. لِأَنَّ الْأَصَلْ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ الْمَنْعِ. Because the fundamental principle in regards to acts of worship is permissibility or impermissibility? Huh? What's the evidence? You said that the fundamental principle in regards to ibadah, acts of worship, is that you're not allowed to do it. What's the evidence? You want to give it a shot? طيب, what's the evidence? I need a dalil. Now we know the asl. We agree to the asl. The ulama, because where did the ulama get the usul from? He doesn't sleep and wake up in the morning, ha, I've come up with a new asl. No, Habibi, here's an evidence. They go by evidences. This asl, for example, al-mashakka tajlibu al-taysir. Difficulty, hardship brings about ease. What is the evidence? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. Allah wants ease for you. Clearly Allah said, for example, you know, Ramadan. فَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضٌ أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٌ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So whoever is sick, or then he can make up a number of days. So we learn, we have evidences that, okay, if there's hardship, there, you can take it easy. Now we're saying that you can't worship Allah unless the asl is it's not allowed. Unless you have an evidence. What's the evidence for that principle? Yeah, Sheikh. Come on, you guys. How many times have you heard these lectures? Hadith of Aisha and Bukhari and Muslim. من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action which is not in agreement with this affair of ours will have it rejected. خلاص. خلاص. Meaning, when the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does an action which is not in agreement with this affair of ours, meaning with the sunnah, with what I have done and taught you, anything you do which doesn't agree with it, you will have it rejected. Meaning, you can't do it because Allah will not accept it. That's one evidence. Of course, إِيَّاكُمْ مُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ I was expecting any one of these evidences. You know, introduction, introducing things creates bid'ah will lead to the hellfire. Any of these would have worked. This is the principle that why you cannot do ibadah. So the Shaykh said, إِلَّا مَا قَامَ الدَّلِيلَ عَلَى مَشْرُعِيَتِهِ. So then the asl, the fundamental, foundational principle in regards to acts of worship is impermissibility. Impermissible. Until you have a textual evidence legislating this ibadah. You must bring a textual evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of three things. What?
Statement,
either he said something or
action.
He did something and the Sahaba saw him, or
approval,
taqriri. Someone did it in front of him and he didn't prohibit him, he didn't reprimand him, he didn't stop him. He approved it in his, for example, a classic example for this is the two rak'at of wudu. Bilal radiallahu anhu is the one who did that. But see, some people use it as an evidence for the permissibility of innovation. Say, no, this was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, is the one who either approves or denies. Because some people did some things which he denied. Didn't some of them say, I'm not going to marry a woman? The other one said, I'm going to fast every day. And the third one said, I'm going to pray all night. What did he do? He said, no. No. I marry women, I pray, and I fast, and I break my fast, I pray and I sleep, and whoever desires other than my sunnah, he's not of me. So there he rejected. But in the issue of Bilal, he approved it, alayhi sallam. So it becomes a sunnah for you to pray two rakat after the wudu, even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't do it. Nor did he speak about it, he simply approved the action of Bilal. You follow me? This is called sunnah taqririyah. So we have sunnah qawliya, qawliya statement, sunnah fi'liya, action or amaliya, and sunnah taqriya. You have to memorize these three. Otherwise, you're going to be selling tomatoes soon. Qawluhu wa tiba'. What are we looking at here? Oh, we got time. قوله واتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. And from the way, from the practical way of أهل السنة والجماعة, is following the path of the سابقين. What is سابقين? Forerunners, predecessors, the people that came before. Forerunners, excellent. الأولين, the foremost, the first. من المهاجرين والأنصار. Who is better, مهاجرين or أنصار? Muhammad, I'm telling you, Muhammad. Is this your recorder? I will confiscate it. One more wrong fatwa, man, you're going to be in trouble. The مهاجرين are better than the Ansar. Why? They embraced Islam first, and they left their homes behind, and they went with the Prophet ﷺ to Medina. The Ansar simply welcomed. That doesn't make the Ansar bad. It just makes the Muhajirin a degree above. And we mentioned that. We elaborated on that in the previous classes. That even Allah mentioned them in the Quran, Muhajirin wal Ansar. He begins with the Muhajirin. And all of them are good. نعم. أي ومن طريقة أهل السنة اتباع إلى آخره. So it's from the way of أهل السنة following those. فهي معطوفة على اتباع الأثر. So this is basically معطوفة is when a conjunction is used between two sentences, like and, or, but, whatever. So here it is and. Muhammad came and Mustafa. So in this sense, but you know, it's difficult to translate grammar sometimes. قوله السابقين يعني إلى الأعمال السابح إلى الأعمال السابح الصالحة. Sorry, they were called سابقين. Why? Because they actually preceded us in righteousness, in righteous deeds. والأولين يعني من هذه الأمة. The أولين, the foremost of this أمة. والمهاجرين من هاجروا إلى المدينة. مهاجرين, those who migrated to Medina. والأنصار أهل المدينة في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنصار are the people of Medina at the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وإنما كان اتباع سبيلهم من منهج أهل السنة أو اتباع سبيلهم من منهج أهل السنة والجماعة لأنهم أقرب إلى الصواب والحق ممن بعدهم. Why is it? And the Sheikh said, verily, it was part of their way, meaning part of the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to follow them because they were the closest people to the correctness in comparison to those who came after them. Anyone who came after them could not have understood the deen like them. It is impossible. And by the way, this is the default state in all matters of life. And in all fields of knowledge and sciences, not only in Islam, you will find that the students who learn directly from the teacher are more knowledgeable of the topic than students who may have read it from a book. Because the students who learn from the teacher may have the chance to have a dialogue with him and ask questions and get explanations. They see him. It's different than when you read a book which may be misinterpreted. You see the thing? And this is besides their hearts being pure, Allah having chosen them, their knowledge which Allah gave them, the love for the deen. I mean, come on. So for someone to say that someone now understands the deen better than the Sahaba is a lunatic. Is an absolute lunatic. And so you go compare Tahir al-Qadri and the Sahaba, and you this punk man celebrated Mawlid in a Hindu temple. Hindu temple, ya jama'at al-khair. Ish hal rijal hada. Hindu temple to celebrate the Mawlid. And this is his da'wah. You go to the Hindu temple to celebrate the Mawlid. Yani, if the Mawlid was legislated, it will be belittlement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to celebrate it in a Hindu temple. I mean, you don't have, doesn't he have his own organization?
Recently they do it in Hindu temple.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, certainly, yes. I've seen it on TV.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I know already. And so it just doesn't end. It doesn't end. His nonsense. Before he celebrated Christmas with the Christians. And he cut a cake on birthday. And so they Sheikh al-Islam. This loser became Sheikh al-Islam. They call him Sheikh al-Islam. They ignore the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And now this guy has following. Sheep who are more blind than he is. They're worse than he is. They cannot be worse than he is. They're just as ignorant. But it's sad. I'm just giving you the example of how people fail the Sahaba. They consider him more knowledgeable, because if you tell them, you tell them now, look, akhi, the Sahaba didn't do this. Will they follow the Sahaba or will they follow Tahir al-Qadri? They will follow Tahir al-Qadri. They will ignore the Sahaba. Say what? He understands. He is more knowledgeable. He knows this. He dances in the middle of the lecture when he gets excited. People kiss his feet, whatever other things that he does. So they will actually magnify this individual more than the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah. And you can have a lecture with all of them, say the way of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf. Then after the end, they will say Tahir al-Qadri. They will go with him and ignore the whole Salaf of the Ummah. This is fact. This is a fact. These are facts. You talk to these people and you will know that this is not exaggeration in any way, shape or form. So that's what we have to understand and internalize what we are upon. What do we mean by when we say we follow the Sahaba? You're not following anyone. You're following the Isma, those who are protected from deviance. It's impossible that all of them will agree on something which is erroneous. But an individual today may go astray after having been guided. That's why you don't rely on live scholars. So one of the statements of the Salaf is, you know, do not take your knowledge from live scholars. In this sense. Not all the way. Not across the board. Because the one who's alive, you cannot la ta'man alayhi fitna. You don't know whether he will be exposed to fitna. The one who died already, khalas. What he left behind is sound. The one alive, you may trust him. Then he goes astray, you will go astray right with him. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you don't take... Now they're going to say, Abu Musab said that don't take knowledge from the live scholars. No, don't put words in my mouth. I'm telling you what one of the Salaf said as means of protecting your deen. Otherwise, you have to refer to the live scholars, because there are issues which are called nawazil, issues which are contemporary, issues which did not exist back then, that there's no fatwa in regards to. And you have to ask a scholar of today who's familiar with the situation, who can give you a fatwa accordingly. Ala kulli hal, وَكُلَّمَا بَعُدَ النَّاسِ عَنِ الْعَهْدِ النُّبُوَةِ بَعِدُوا عَنِ الْحَقَّ. The farther the people are from the time of prophethood, the farther they are away from the truth. The more you go away from that blessed time, the farther people will be from the truth. وَكُلَّمَا قَرُبَ النَّاسِ مِنْ عَهْدِ النُّبُوَةِ قَرِبُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. The closer they are to the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the closer they are to the truth. وَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانْ أَحْرَصْ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ سِيرَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَخُلَفَائِهِ الرَّاشِدِينَ كَانَ أَقْرَبِ الْحَقِّ. The more, the keener a person is on knowing the biography of the Prophet ﷺ and his righteous predecessors, and I'm sorry, the four rightly guided khulafa, the closer he will be to the truth. So the more you try to stick to that blessed, you know, understanding, the closer you are to the truth. The farther you get from them, the more errors you will have. ولهذا ترى اختلاف الأمة بعد زمن الصحابة والتابعين أكثر انتشارا وأشمل لجميع الأمور لكن الخلاف في عهدهم كان محصورا. That's why you see that the differing of the Ummah after the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een is way more it was spread way more and it was more encompassing to various affairs, while during their time the differing was restricted to some issues. And at the time of the Sahaba and Tabi'een, they did have differences obviously, but they were restricted to some areas. As we move on, then the actual differences started encompassing all matters of the deen. And they were all over the place. All over the place. فَمِن طَرِيقَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ أَن يَنظُرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ السَّابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ فَيَتَّبِعُوهَا. from the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they look at the path of these early generations from among the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and they follow it, that path that is. لِأَنَّ اتِّبَاعَهَا يُؤَدِّي إِلَى مَحَبَّتِهِمْ, because following that path will lead to loving them. It will lead to their love. مَعْ كَوْنِهِمْ أَقْرَبْ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ وَالْحَقِّ, while, and because of the fact that they are closer to the correctness and the sound, authentic position. خِلَافًا لِمَنْ زَهِدَ فِي هَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَةِ, as opposed to the one who has zuhd in this tariqah. What is zuhd here? Zuhd, what does zuhd mean generally? Generally, say zahid. What is it? Ascetic. Zahid is one who is ascetic. Zuhd is asceticism, which is the idea of wanting to live on a mountain and leave alone the world and just do ibadah. Sufi kind of thing, right? Not necessarily. Now, zuhd and Sufism are not equal. But usually they are the ones who go extreme in zuhd. Otherwise, every Muslim is supposed to be a zahid in the dunya, looking forward to the life to come. But how to define zuhd? Is it that you wear lousy clothes and you look like you just came out of prison and you stink and you smell bad? You look, because some people, this is how they define zuhd. Brother, this brother, mashallah, tabarakallah, he doesn't care for the dunya. So he misrepresents the people of da'wah. And people, when they see him, they say, "Wish had," they don't even want to talk to him. What da'wah is he going to give? And did the Prophet ﷺ look like that? Did he not be, wasn't he clean? Wasn't he good smelling, ﷺ? Did he wear nice clothes? Of course. He saw a man who looked shabby. He said, "Do you have a business?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Let Allah see the favors of His favors upon you." He saw some people coming to Jumu'ah with their work clothes. He said, "Can't you buy a special garment for Jumu'ah? Can't you wear something specific for Jumu'ah?" So he made that, he taught that. Now, if you are so careless about the dunya that, you know, you don't pay attention to these things, that's a whole other story. But to deliberately look bad, thinking that this is carelessness of the dunya, is a misunderstanding of the deen. No, you have to look as good as you can, as long as it doesn't become your major concern. But you look good for the niyyah of da'wah fi sabilillah. You look representative as much as you can. Because nowadays, you know, we are living in a time where this is how people deal with each other. You see what I'm saying? You won't even get a job. As soon as they want to hire you, at the interview, you look a little clumsy and you're out. You could be qualified, have the credentials, have the degrees. It's not going to happen. So we Muslim, and it's sad when some loser, you know, who doesn't know anything, who doesn't practice Islam, you know, looks acceptable, and then the Muslim looks otherwise. So this one looks down at him. No, you compete with them. Say, "Look, we practice the deen. We are honored and proud to be Muslims. And we also look good." You know, don't think this is something that is for you and we are out the picture. We compete with them. In language, we will compete with them. Knowledge, we will compete with them. Any matter, we will compete with them, that we are superior with our deen. So that we can subdue the kuffar and subdue the disobedient and subdue the deviant people by showing them that we actually exceed them at all levels. That is what is expected of us nowadays. Wallahu a'lam. That's why you say, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, they said they never ever found, he never had even a stain on his thawb. Never was the Shaykh seen with a single stain on his thawb. He made it a point to wear nice, you know, clean clothing. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, the author, the himself, the one who explained the book himself, rahimahullah. So don't misunderstand what zuhd is. Ala kulli hal, khilafan liman zahida fi hadhihi at-tariqa, here, those who are zuhd here, meaning they are nonchalant. They are careless about this way of the Salaf. The Sheikh said, Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah are very keen on following the way of the Salaf, as opposed to those individuals who are careless about it. They have zuhd, carelessness, lack of interest in the way of the Salaf. وَصَارَ يَقُولُ, until he started saying, هُمْ رِجَال وَنَحْنُ رِجَال. So until some of them said, "They are men and we are men." إِشْ يَعْنِي, what is the difference between us? They were men, we are men, meaning we are equal. ولا يبالي بخلافهم, and he doesn't care about contradicting them. He does not is not concerned with the fact that he's contradicting the Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكأن قول أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم قول فلان وفلان من أواخر هذه الأمة. And he makes it seem like the statement of Abu Bakr and the statement of Umar or Uthman or Ali is like equal to the statement of the last one of this ummah, as if they're all the same. لا أبد. وهذا خطأ وضلال. This is an error and deviance. فالصحابة رضي الله عنهم أقرب إلى الصواب. The Sahaba were closer to correctness. وقولهم مقدم على قول غيرهم, and their statement is given precedence over anybody else's statement. من أجل ما عندهم من الإيمان والعلم, due to what they had acquired of إيمان and knowledge. وما عندهم من ألفهم السليم والتقوى والأمانة, and because of that harmony between them and between of their piety and their trust, the amana which they had, the fulfillment of the trust. وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ صُحْبَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, and because of the virtue of being companions of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So inshallah, that concludes that discussion, because the following week inshallah we'll be dealing with a very important hadith, the hadith of upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, and we will postpone that till next week inshallah. Next week would be what date? Today is what, February what? 18th. 27th. Yes, inshallah. So we'll have our class, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, next Saturday. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.